From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. If there was ever a food that was meant for this moment, it is beans. Pinto beans, fava beans, mung beans, black beans, they're healthy, full of protein, cheap, wonderful compared to meat for the environment, and if cooked well, absolutely delicious. Sometimes the simplest thing makes all the difference. Right now, that thing could be beans. This hour on Point, all about beans in this, their finest hour. You can join the conversation. Are you bean ready for our environment, our wallets, our health, our pleasure? Is this the time for beans in your kitchen? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now in our studio is the one and only Crescent Dragon Wagon. She's the James Beard award-winning author of cookbooks, including The Cornbread Gospels and Passionate Vegetarian. She served brunch for 1,200 at Bill Clinton's first inauguration. She's out of New York and Arkansas and now Vermont. Her new cookbook is Bean by Bean. It's terrific. You can find some of its recipes at our website, onpointradio.org. Crescent, thanks so much for being here today.
It is my pleasure.
And we have a bean feast spread before us here in the studio. But, you know, we saw your book come by, and I thought, you know, this has got to be the bean moment. You look at it environmentally or economically, family budget economics,
yes,
or
yes,
health-wise. I mean, what could be better for this time in history than all these beans you've got spread before
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's one bean variety whose name is mortgage lifter.
What does that mean?
Well, the story is that the guy's farm was going to be foreclosed on, and he had such a bumper crop of beans that he was able to pay off his mortgage. But in one sense, you could say beans, I mean, we wish they were mortgage lifters for all of us, but they can certainly be mortgage lighteners because they give you so much good stuff for so little money.
They may help us get it paid these days. You look back across, what, eons here. People have loved beans for a long time. You're quoting the Sufi mystic Rumi,
yes,
you know, writing about chickpeas, talking with the cook, turns out to be a spiritual mentor. Mark Twain about bean soup in A Tramp Abroad. Shakespeare writing about peas in As You Like It,
the
Midsummer's
Bible.
Night's Dream, the Bible. I mean, it's people, humans like beans and have for a long time.
Well, beans were actually the very first, along with barley, the first two cultivated plants. They took human beings from being hunter and gatherers, mm-hmm, to being agriculturalists.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, agriculture is the basis of all culture.
Sure. And off we go. So many of them, out of the Middle East into Europe. There was the Middle Ages kind of exploded with beans in the Europe.
Yeah. There's a lovely quote in there about a historian who talked about the vibrancy of the late Middle Ages and the Renaissance, and that was the moment when beans began to make their way post-Crusades from the Middle East into Europe, and
mm-hmm,
he says that literally and figuratively, that period of time, Europe became full of beans.
Europe, full of beans. There's a headline for you.
They could probably use some beans now.
Yeah,
I think they're hurting now.
I think they're in line for beans. I mean, the lucky thing here is that while they're so good on so many fronts, they also taste delicious, and we're going to do that in this hour. But walk us through the arguments for the beans' finest hour here. I mean, let's start environmentally here. We've got a big population on this planet, a lot of up-and-coming economies. People are eating more and more meat. We, of course, eat lots of meat in this country. But the amount of acreage it takes to produce beef or chicken or any meat you want to think of is so much greater than what it takes to produce beans.
Huge. And also, of course, we, by eating protein as meat, we concentrate that protein. In other words, there's, you know, 25 pounds of grain,
mm-hmm,
including
mm-hmm,
some legumes, some
mm-hmm,
beans,
mm-hmm,
that go into feeding cattle. And then when you have it dressed out and shrunk down and bone, it's like 1 pound. And how many people does that feed?
It takes 16 pounds of grain to produce 1 pound of meat.
Amazing. And then all that water that goes into it. And meanwhile, you know, we degrade the resources by adding, you know, the feedlot, the water table,
mm-hmm,
the amount of water that it takes for each. And there, by contrast, you have the innocent, plump, lovely bean twining up its pole or going on its bush.
It can look pretty good compared to, for example, just this week, McDonald's said on Monday that it's going to stop using, over time, pork suppliers who keep their sows in these tiny little cages where they can't even turn around when they're pregnant with little piglets. McDonald's says they're going to ease up on that. But here, with legumes, beans, peas, lentils, 15 times more protein than an acre of meat production from that acre for beans.
And, of course, when you get protein from beans, it's not only all the good things that you get that we'll touch on and taste on in a few minutes. It's what you don't get. You don't get all the accumulated pesticides from eating high on the food chain. You don't get all of the hormones that are de facto and antibiotics that are fed to get weight on the cattle or pork quickly. Now, I do have to say, although I'm a vegetarian and the book is pretty vegetarian friendly, there are people in this world, many of them my good friends, to whom a pot of beans without
a little ham bone in there
is like unthinkable, unacceptable, just as I have pals that, you know, that if it was in there, it would be unacceptable.
Right,
so
right.
I have both.
You've got both.
You know, I like to believe that the table is big enough that everyone can sit at it.
There's the environment. Let's look at health and beans on that front. I mean, we have problems in this country with heart disease. We have problems with obesity. We've got problems with, you name it, people just getting enough fiber in their diets. Right across these, beans come in and say, hey, try us.
Well, you can't really separate, to me, the health of the environment from the health of those who live on it, human and non-human. And one of the marvelous, extraordinary things about beans is that they actually enrich the soil while growing.
With the nitrogen as legumes that they put into the soil rather than taking out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in Native American times, beans were always grown with corn because corn is such a heavy feeder of nitrogen. And then
Rotated on American farms.
Or rotated. But see, the thing is, you know, even though legumes are often planted as a green manure, so are other crops, and you can plow them in after the growing season and they'll enrich the soil. But during the growing season, during when they're productive of food for us or other legume eaters, they're helping our gardens.
Healthy for the soil, healthy for us when we make them part of our diet. I mean, the fiber linked to reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, being overweight, type 2 diabetes, helps on all those fronts.
All those fronts. But that wouldn't mean – that wouldn't be worth a bean if they weren't delicious too. You know, people will never – you know, food does three things. It nourishes us. It gives us sensual pleasure. And it serves as the medium of benign connection between human beings and other human beings, between human beings and the earth, the farmers, those who produce it, those who cook it. From the moment a baby takes milk from its mother, that triangle of things. And if food is absent, I believe, any one of those things, we're being shortchanged.
I'm getting very ready for that food. This cookbook, Beans by Bean by Bean, goes right across a very large horizon. I mean, one of the things about beans is there's so many varieties. I mean, you've got your kidney and your pinto and your black and garbanzo and lima and black-eyed and split and on and on.
And forms of beans. So you also have, for example, when we get around to dessert, we have a cake. I'll shake some garbanzo beans.
Okay.
But
dry.
We also have garbanzo bean flour called besan if you go to an Indian food store, and that's in a variety of sweet and savory things, and it's an unbelievable ingredient.
Where you can get into baked goods, not just three bean salad.
And it's gluten-free as well.
Right.
Oh, we're so beyond three bean salad. We are like so way beyond it.
What's the range of beans that you deal with in this great exploration of how to make them delicious?
You mean today, here and now?
Here in your
oh my
your
gosh, we go from
handsome
an
tome.
We go from an appetizer section, which I called hummus, where the heart is.
Okay.
We go through soups, salads. I have a separate chapter just on chilies, and we'll taste a chili mole later
on.
We have stews, curries, stir fries. We have salads, and we even get to desserts.
Desserts, even there.
Even there.
With the cake, as you describe it. I mean,
peanuts are a legume too. Peanut butter.
We've got it all. I wonder how many days a week you could eat beans.
I eat beans daily. I really do.
Beans in your diet every single day. A lot of people think of them, oh, they're dried and I got to soak them. I don't know, you know, it's like, oh, just throw a burger in the frying pan,
yeah,
or a chicken breast,
yeah,
and we'll be done with it.
Some of that goes to our whole culture being on overwhelm all the time, trying mm-hmm. to catch up, mm-hmm. always falling behind. And beans, on the one hand, can remind us to slow down, but on the other hand, they're, you know, very quick, easy. There's ways that are quick, like mm-hmm. that garbanzo bean flour that I mentioned. You mm-hmm. can make a crepe out of that in the time it takes to throw stuff in the blender. Bzzz, done.
That sounds about like what we're looking for right now.
But, you
now.
Know, you can use canned beans without going to hell. You might get yeah. a little crispy around the edges, yeah. but you yeah. won't really. But, you know, if you get into the habit of soaking them, they kind of cook themselves. You can do it either really fast in a pressure cooker, or really slow and unattended in a slow cooker.
I'll be ready. Beans grab cornbread by the toe. Beans said, cornbread, let me go. Cornbread said, I'll lay you low. I'm going to fight you so-and-so. Meet me on the corner. Meet me on the corner with my dad. That's what beans said, cornbread. You're so bad, you already want to fight. Meet me on the corner with my dad. And I'm going to beat the devil out of you. On the corner of my night. Beans hit cornbread on the head. Cornbread said, I'm almost dead.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour, of all things, about the beauty of beans. We're really thinking they may be the food for right now. Good for the planet, good for your wallet, good for your body, and cook them right, they taste great. Crescent Dragon Wagon is with me. James Beard, award-winning cookbook author, author of the Cornbread Gospels and Passionate Vegetarian. Her latest is Bean by Bean, a cookbook. You can find recipes from it at our website, onpointradio.org. Let me tell you, be jealous, be very jealous. This table is loaded with some very beautiful food. We're going to dive into it in just a moment. Crescent, it's just great to see people responding here online. Your Yar says, beans, greens, and cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
As complete a meal as you can ever have. Had it for supper last night. Mm-mm, good.
Oh, delicious. Right? Good, 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 good.
We're right there. Joni says, love beans, says her father's nickname was Beansy. Some people are way into it.
Chris, my first cat's name was Bean Blossom.
There you go, Bean Blossom. Chris, into the health benefits, small red beans, more antioxidants than blueberries, strawberries, cranberries, raspberries, apples. But then there's this.
And
Michelle,
all seasons,
that's
too.
True.
Because right now, if you're getting a blueberry, it had to take a first-class ticket from,
that's
was in
true.
The Northeast.
I had blueberries the other day from the Easter Islands. Can you imagine the other side of the planet?
When it takes 150 calories worth of fuel to get something that when you eat it has 5 calories, the energy equation is off. So beans also.
We've got people on both sides of the. Brian is as we speak, he says, interestingly, I'm eating a bowl of 17 bean soup right now. That is a lot of. But here's Michelle. Beans, !! I hate beans. I hate the texture, the taste, the smell. I know they're good for us and a very inexpensive source of protein. But tell me a bean that's not like a bean. That's what she needs.
Okay. Here are two beans that are not like beans.
Okay.
Jicama is a bean.
Jicama. I don't even know what jicama is.
Jicama is a raw salad vegetable. Usually it's crispy, sweet. It tastes like water chestnuts, only sweet.
Okay.
But a more seriously beany bean that you might not think of is a bean is peanuts, peanut butter.
Yeah.
Peanuts in Thai food. Then there's the whole art of soy with tofu, tempeh,
mm-hmm.
that,
right,
you know,
right.
take it in another direction.
Right.
And we mentioned before flours made of beans, such as the garbanzo bean flour. You can make a crepe that is egg-free and dairy-free with garbanzo bean flour
mm-hmm.
that honestly is a dead ringer for eggy crepes. The only way they're not is that when you mix the batter up, it smells beany. So we
right.
have to.
Okay.
We
so
have
just
to tell.
A clothespin for 5 minutes, Michelle, and then you're off into the joy of cooking.
But then once you brown them up, they are delicious.
I'm just about to lose my mind with the wonderful aroma. Michelle, I'm not with you on the smell of beans. I think they're fantastic.
Well,
right
once
here.
They're cooked, it's a whole different take.
Whoa, boy! We'll get right there. I can just barely resist. But first, New York, Potsdam, New York. Shelley's calling. Shelley, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And I have to say, Your guest is just charming, a wonderful advocate for beans.
Yes, she
I love
is.
It.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
She is.
But I work with a nonprofit organization in upstate New York that is doing nutritious, delicious grain and bean workshops, teaching people how to cook with these things. Because what we've found is that there's this huge, it's like this really steep learning curve that people perceive, which actually, it's not that bad, but people think it's this,
right.
You know,
too much to know.
Yeah. Different beans, some you do and some you don't. And it's as easy as finding a chart on it. You can Google that in 5 seconds flat. But
or you can look in the back of my book.
Yes. <There
you go. laughs> Yes.
Not to hype it, but, you know.
There it is.
But the other thing is that it's quick and easy and cheap if you do it on a weekly basis.
Yes.
And part of the best part of our workshop is that we cook all these different beans, and then we do little taste tests, little cups, and we have all these different condiments we've laid out, and fresh herbs and roasted garlic and fried onions, and you try the different beans and the different grains with the different condiments, and you can make it a different meal every night of the week and eat for, you know, 30
yes.
cents a day per person or whatever it is.
Shelley, I love it.
That
sounds like a recipe for eternal happiness. but I can't resist anymore. I appreciate your call, Shelley, but the board is spread. I want to dive right in here. For how many cents a day, I don't know. But when you talk about tasting, we've got to do it right here, right now. I'm glad you're getting people into it there in New York, Shelley, and thanks for that
And
call.
Grains and beans are a dynamite combination. Cooked in the same pot, it simplifies it. Cooked separately, you get a whole different range of flavors. But now, so
Deep Feast on the table. What have we got here?
Okay.
Crescent Dragon Wagon.
Well, the first thing that we have here, I'm sliding the
Lord.
Food towards him.
And it looks like an enormous pie.
It looks like a pie, but it is not a pie.
With the black bean something on top
or sour cream.
I don't know. What is
it? You're way wrong, dude.
Okay,
take a chip here.
Yeah.
This is a pita chip.
Yes.
And dip down.
Down
Go
deep.
Down
oh,
in.
This is one of those
this is what
seven
we call,
layer.
It's seven layer Middle Eastern mountain.
Okay.
And a lot of people have had the equivalent of this dish in Mexican idiom,
yep.
But I decided to do it in
actually sour cream and onions and
radishes, cucumbers, and at the very bottom there's a layer of hummus.
That's
hummus
what I'm
has
to get
now
to
become.
I'm gonna make a mess, but I don't care.
Hummus has now become a here's a little dish for you.
Thank you very much.
You know,
hummus,
almost
as in
a cliche.
Dip that bean.
And, you know, when I wrote a bean book in 1972, so beans have mm-hmm. been, this has been the time for beans for me for a long
mm-hmm.
time. And in those days, hummus was exotic. And now you can get it in every
Everywhere.
Supermarket. And even if you're not doing from scratch, one of these dips, you have a layer of hummus on the bottom.
Oh, is that delicious.
And then you have, you know, chopped scallions and cucumbers
mm-hmm.
and radishes
mm-hmm.
and little fresh mint, little fresh dill. Those are those herbs that your listener was talking about. We've
what
got
is
tomatoes.
This on top? What's the dark?
That's olives on top.
Oh, I see. Okay, of course.
And
see.
All
because
those
so many
good,
layers, it's hard
good
to taste
Middle
all
Eastern.
Once.
Yeah, that's sort of the charm of it is that each bite is a little differently.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can do the same thing in a Mexican idiom with refried beans on the
mm-hmm,
bottom
mm-hmm.
or twice cooked.
So do you think of this as a main dish? Do you think of this as an appetizer?
I think of that as a starter.
That is some starter. That is some substantial
great
starter.
Well, I mean,
starter,
of course, it depends how much you eat. I mean, I often will, at a restaurant, will eat three hors d'oeuvres for my main course because
right.
more interesting flavors. But this is a great party dish. Easy to put together.
Yeah.
You just stack it. And it's wonderful.
With
and
chickpea, that bean at the bottom
yeah.
of the whole thing. That
then,
is just gorgeous,
now, one
wonderful.
Thing we have not talked about
okay.
here yet
yeah.
is green beans and green and peas, of course, are also beans. And I have just handed over to Tom
a
nice springy salad. We've been talking about wintry dried beans, but that's a sugar snap pea and orange salad. And there we have those.
Oh, boy, is that fresh.
Oh, it's
fantastic.
So fresh.
You've got segments of orange here and the green snap beans or
sugar snap peas.
Sugar snap peas. Very crispy.
And notice, of course, you eat the pod.
Oh, of course. So
and
you get all that.
Pods are the essence of beans, and of course, we're podcasting today.
Right. Your pods and, all over the place, and there's some herb. What is this
we've
leaf
got,
under here?
That's some spinach.
Mm-hmm.
You can toss
lie
it on, you know, as a garnish.
Is the green bean going to give me the same protein kick that the
It won't give you as much protein, but as green vegetables go, it is higher in protein than any other vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Green vegetable. But what it does is then it sneaks in vitamin A, vitamin C. It has a lot of nice fresh, you know, those fresh vegetable beans, but it's relatively high protein as vegetables go.
This is just too delicious for
There's
words.
There's ginger and fresh mint in that dressing.
Yeah, I taste them both as you say them. Evan in Patton, Vermont. Evan, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Crescent Dragon Wagon.
Hi, Evan.
Hi, thank you. Hi. My wife is a vegetarian cook who's at home right now preparing her lunches for the day, so she would probably be calling in if it weren't we're not for that. But she is, we were talking about it last night. She is very rapidly discovering the benefits of beans, and I think is seeing the benefits of starting with a dried bean and leaving all the canned beans behind. It's not that much labor, and she, I think, would say that the flavor and the texture is so enhanced by starting with the dried bean. I'm just curious, would that be your same experience in that
case? That would indeed be my same experience. I think with chickpeas, particularly, chickpeas cooked from scratch are a world better than canned. Now, I don't want to diss canned beans because, you know, they're great if you're in a hurry. I always keep a couple of cans on the shelf myself. You know, throughout the book, I have some recipes that use canned, knowing that it'll be simpler for people. But, you know, I greatly advocate cooking them from scratch, and it's not hard to do.
Let's go through that. Let's go through the soaking, because I think a lot of people, they look at all the wonderful beans in the store, and they just stop right there because they think, that's too hard. I can't eat that. What's going to turn that into a nice, tender, delicious, succulent bean? what is that soaking cycle? I wonder.
Well, all right. You want to soak your beans overnight. Now, there's a million variations of the way you can do this, but basically you want to hydrate the bean, and you want to do this for a couple of reasons. Not only so it will cook faster, but also the little indigestible sugars called the oligosaccharides that are part of the bean.
The magical fruit business.
Yes. And, you know, let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah. If you soak it, it helps on that. It's going to cut that down.
They're water-soluble.
So you drain that water off, and it takes away some of that.
And the more sensitive you are to those indigestible sugars, the higher the percentage of water you should use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So soak them overnight. Drain them. Then you can cook them one of two ways. You can cook them conventionally on a stovetop in a nice cast iron pot or whatever you have, slowly, and the time could be 45 minutes for black-eyed peas, 3 hours for chickpeas.
You may boil, you may fry. There's all.
Well, you want to cook them tender first. Boil them first.
Okay. So soak, then boil.
Then
now
simmer.
Now you've got that tender bean. Okay, simmer.
And now, if you want to speed up that process, pressure cook it. And a lot of people are pressure cook phobic, but not if
you... Sounds so old-fashioned. I think of my mother's pressure cooker back in the day.
There's a whole new generation of them.
Is that right?
And they make them differently now. They cannot explode. They're such a time saver and energy saver, too. Instead of cooking, you know, for 4 hours and using up more fuel, you can do it in 10 minutes.
Literally 10 minutes, and you've got your beans ready to handle.
Nice, creamy, soft, wonderful textured beans.
Wow.
So there's that. Then the other way you can do it is after they've been soaked, you can throw them in the slow cooker and do it that way.
For those working people of America who want to come home to their dinner.
You come home and unless you're your listener that didn't like the smell of beans, most people when you come in and you smell it simmering, I'm home.
Oh, boy. You've got cornbread on the table. I know this is one of your specialties all the way back to the Cornbread Gospel, your great cookbook. And what is it alongside here?
This is I brought you some chili mole.
Peace be upon us.
chili mole. There's a whole chapter of chilies.
That's got a nice kick to it.
Isn't that chili? Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I spent so many years in the South I have a taste. When I'm back there, my speech immediately reverts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now I'm up here in the East Coast, so I'm chatter faster. Chili mole is magical series of flavors.
It's so light. This is not a heavy kind of, it's got almost a whipped texture in a way.
Yeah, well, that's interestingly enough, besides the pinto beans that I based it on there, although often I do it with black beans, one of the many secret ingredients in mole, or unexpected, let's say, is it has a little peanut butter in it.
Ooh.
And
yeah,
it has unsweetened chocolate, mole classic.
Which gets it into mole
raisins,
territory. Okay. Wow, there's a lot going
You know, that's one of those dishes, like a good wine or a really good dish, there's sort of a little parade of flavors across your tongue.
I'm marching across the parade right now.
Pick up your heels and dance.
Yeah, with Crescent Dragon Wagon. The book is Bean by Bean. Let's get down closer to your old stomping grounds of Arkansas, Nashville, Tennessee. Carmen's calling. Hi, Carmen. You're on the air.
Hi. I am a bean connoisseur. I was just listening to a book on tape on veganism, and she was on the part of beans.
Yes.
Then I said, well, I want to listen to Tom Ashbrook. Let's see what the topic is. You're talking about beans.
Well, we're here for you,
it's
Carmen.
The bean
we are here
moment.
For you.
Bean synchronicity.
So I was thinking to myself, which I do a lot, is how can I make a black bean burger?
Ah, okay. Well, I have a lot of burger recipes in there, but just let me walk you through generally. Generally, with a burger, whether it's black beans or some other kind, you have them cooked to tenderness. And, you know, in that last little part where you're cooking, you would add chili, like a hot, I often cook beans with a bay leaf and a dried chili of some kind or another. But then if you sauteed onion, carrot, celery, whatever vegetables appeal to you, do them in a cast iron. I love cast iron. It can be any kind of skillet you want,
okay.
But cast iron
cast
is
iron
my
the real deal.
It's just my thing.
Okay.
When I owned a restaurant, one of my chefs complained about having to lift the heavy cast iron, and I said, "Sam, that is our employee fitness program."
right anyway, there, be happy for it.
Anyway,
now, how do I get these beans to hold together
so what
into
you do
a burger?
Is you'll want to mash up your tender cooked beans.
Mm-hmm.
And you might even put them in the food processor. And you need something to help them hold together.
Right.
And again, you know, depending on the texture you want, you could puree some of that sautéed vegetable mixture in. Of course, you want to season it nicely, salt and pepper and, you know, Tabasco, chili, whatever appeals to you.
Whatever gets you going, Carmen.
Curry spices. And then to hold it together, if you were going strictly vegan, you might do some form of breadcrumbs. If you were gluten-free, it might be cornbread crumbs.
Okay.
Could be rice. You need some little starch, which also works out nutritionally very well.
Mm-hmm.
And you, again, you can grind it really fine or you can grind some of it fine and leave some chunky. You form it into little patties. You heat up your good old skillet again with a little oil in it, and you brown them, and they are wonderful.
Is there a preferred bean if you want it in a burger patty? Is it black or pinto or
whatever bean you like?
Any one will work.
They're, you know, beans are like human beings. They are each individual and idiosyncratic, but they're more alike than they are different.
Carmen, we're so glad to find our perfect harmony with your bean interest on this day, and I hope that there's something for you right there. Check out Bean by Bean from Crescent Dragon Wagon. I'm really happy for your call from Nashville, Carmen. Hope you have a lovely lunch or wherever you end up with that burger.
From the time I can remember until the time they passed away, Mom and Dad were always by our side. And I think the things, remembered things that went into our lives were the Carson Pinto beans that they supplied. When times were getting hard and things were going bad, we always call upon the ones we knew. Then Mama fed our souls with the Bible and her prayers, and pinto beans and music saw us through.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the beauty of beans. They are the food for right now, good for the planet, good for your wallet in these economic times, good for your body. And cook them right, they taste great. Crescent Dragon Wagon is helping us do exactly that today. James Beard, award-winning cookbook author, author of the latest, Bean by Bean, a cookbook, a lot of recipes at our website, onpointradio.org. Beautiful food on the table, and we are not through it yet. We've got our seven-layer job going here. We've got our mole, delicious, and the cornbread, and these wonderful snap peas. Crescent, I love all these comments we get online. Ellen says, falafels are my mainstay. I'll do a burger any day, and cows love my ideas.
I have two falafel recipes in there. One is your classic deep-fried falafel, and then one is a really fast, I mean, and I believe it does use the canned beans, really fast, really quick, baked. So nominally healthier because it's not deep fried. Not such a big deal to make. You can make it at home. Deep frying is a big deal to do at home.
CM says, I'm a big-time bean lover. Louisiana red beans and rice, navy bean soup, Indian-style chickpeas, cranberry bolotti beans with chard and olive oil, black-eyed peas, soca. Recently, I came across the idea, CM writes, of cooking dried, unsoaked beans with a piece of kombu seaweed about the size of an index card. Result, creamy, delicious beans in several hours without the need to plan ahead by a day.
Kombu is one of those things. There are essentially, I mean, I do take up the flatulating question in the book at length, and there are 10 different ways you can mitigate that factor. And mm-hmm. one of them is by adding kombu, which is Japanese seaweed. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the width of a lasagna noodle.
Okay.
And a little roughly on the edge, too, like a lasagna
noodle. And it's going to kind of chill out the root and tootin' factor.
And people say that. You know, there are a lot of things that are different herbs and spices that are said to mitigate that. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people swear by the creaminess that it adds to them. And, you know, it adds a little salt, a little bit of flavor. But the kombu has its many, many fans, and I do like to cook a pot with them occasionally.
People just all over it. Jada says, as a poor law student, beans have become an absolute staple in my diet for $5. Good for these times, I can have a filling, delicious, quick, satisfying, but not guilt-inducing meal. Jim says, I bought some pudding with red beans in New York City's Chinatown last week. Delicious. But my mom told me, he says, that Chinese green beans are the best for people's health. She believes green beans help the immune system respond better against cancerous cells. I don't know about beans.
Well, I mean, all fresh green vegetables, especially if they're organically raised, you know, really, really help you rock and roll health-wise. But, you know, I mean, the bean kind of gives you something at every phase of its life cycle. Mm-hmm. Here's this hard little bean, which you could either soak and cook, or you could plant it. And mm-hmm. Even if you soak it and don't cook it, you eat it as a bean sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
right.
Once it starts growing up its greens, you can eat the greens of many varieties. A lot of people are eating.
Like which ones?
People are eating a lot of pea greens and stir fries now. Mm-hmm. And supposedly the leaves of asparagus beans are delicious as a green. Now, I tried growing asparagus greens. They did not do well in Vermont.
Asparagus bean? I have no idea.
It's a variety.
It's just
They're on the table here. There's also.
You've got a dozen.
There are hundreds
of kinds. Colors
and shapes. I brought two that were grown in Vermont. This is grown from Lost Barn Farms.
What kind is it?
That's calypso beans. And
sort
they're black and white.
Black and white, like a harlequin looking.
Or
bean.
A Holstein cow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You could hide them on the cow side.
And these turtle beans were also from Vermont. They're
black bean.
And they
oval.
Were grown by a home gardener. My friend Marilyn McDowell, who's an novelist, grew them and brought them to me as a present when the book came out. I've got beans here from Purcell Mountains in Idaho, from Sesam also in Idaho. The fabulous names. These are called dapple gray beans. Mm-hmm. And although they taste much like a pinto, if you look at them, they look like an Appaloosa
old gray
horse.
Mare or Appaloosa, exactly.
Yeah. And some people do call them Appaloosa.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Let's go to Barry in Indiana, Pennsylvania, no less. Hi, Barry. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Listen, my family didn't like beans until we started buying beans that were dried, but they're guaranteed fresh. For instance, they're picked within 1 year.
Okay.
And once I started cooking those kinds of beans, my family fell in love with them, as opposed to the dried beans that many times you get in the stores that are very old, or the canned beans, which apparently, as I understand it, are even older.
And your family responded to that difference in age, Barry?
Yes, and my friends, I actually give 1 pound packages at Christmas to my friends in the Garbanzos, and they cannot believe the difference.
The difference is huge, Barry, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's another factor when people say, oh, I don't like beans. If you go to a store and you go to buy a package of beans and you see that the packages have been there a while and there's mm-hmm. a little dust on them, do not get them.
It really makes a difference.
It
if
makes
it's
a
6 months or a year or
well,
2 years.
A year is good.
Okay. Anything younger
2 years
than a year.
2 years is questionable. 3 years or 4 years, your beans will never soften. They'll eventually disintegrate into little chunks.
And those are out there being sold?
They are out there being sold, and they don't have a sell-by date. So
how do you know?
Well, you know, you either can get them, as she said. What is the place, Barry, that you found that guarantees?
Can I name the company?
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, it's Rancho Gordo.
Oh, Rancho Gordo is great. Steve Sando at Rancho Gordo.
So they package and sell beans around the country?
The three that – the Rancho Gordo, Purcell Martins, and then as I said, you know, if you go to a farmer's market, I got my calypso beans right in my little farmer's market in Putney, Vermont. But they get so creamy and good, and you'll also have – they're also lower in oligosaccharides, easier to digest and take in. But the taste, you're right, it's completely different.
Get a nice young bean. Barry, thanks for your call, and best to your family and the beans there. Here's Dr. Doc W.W. says, I'm afraid that I'm not exactly bean ready, he or she writes. I don't, although beans are high in protein and antioxidants, we haven't mentioned that so much, they are not free of problems. All legumes are loaded with anti-nutrients, substances that irritate our intestinal tract, leading to leaky gut syndrome, primary driver of many autoimmune diseases. I don't know. This is beyond me.
Well, okay. Again, the oligosaccharides are the one thing that is, you know, indisputably there and indisputably dealable with.
But hard for us to digest, but you've got 10 ways for minimizing that.
10 different ways to minimize that. Also, you know, if you eat a whole lot of beans at once and you haven't been eating beans for a while, you are going to have some problems with it.
That was interesting to me. You said if you eat a little bit frequently. Your intestines are going to be used to this and handle them better.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there are a few weird beans out there. Every family has its black sheep. We have lupine beans, which you do have to soak 4 days because they have alkalis
in. Okay. 4 days, okay.
And,
plan ahead.
You know, everything has its, as Pablo Neruda said, fire has its cold half. Everything on this earth has its two sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can tell you, in my experience, very few downsides to beans compared to the upsides. But if you suspect that, you know, you have problems with it, then eat a little bit a lot. And I also give you a list of those that are more digestible and those that are less. And you can also change the form. In other words, if you have a hard time eating whole black soybeans, then eat tofu, eat tempeh.
So many ways to go. Brattleboro, Vermont. Vermont's coming in today for you,
Tom. Hey, Vermonters.
Tom, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to know, you know, I've used ham hocks and salt pork for seasoning, but are there other seasonings that you can use that would be better than that? And also, and I just missed the, because I was outside, but what is an expiration date? I mean, how long can you keep dried beans?
I would not keep them longer than a year for the ultimate beaniness. So, you know, in Brattleboro, we have the co-op, and they go through the beans very, very quickly there. And so that's one good way to know. There are a million different ways to season. Now, when you get a ham hock or salt pork, let's look at what you're getting from that. You're getting the saltiness, you're getting the smokiness, and you're getting the fat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of those, if you want smokiness towards the end, you can season with anything from smoked paprika is an absolutely wonderful spice.
It
gives
good
smokiness.
Wow.
Toasted sesame oil gives you that toastiness and also that fatty quality.
Feel.
You know, that mouthfeel. And things that have fat in them taste good to us.
Sure.
They convey, I understand, biologically, when you have fat in your mouth, it conveys the little molecules that give things their flavors up into your nose, strangely
bring it,
enough.
Bring it on.
So you're smelling
happy
it more.
Right,
you're just happy. Mm-hmm. It's like that moment, you know, in a restaurant. I used to own an inn and restaurant. When people take a bite and there's a moment of silence.
Yeah.
They're so happy with it.
Yeah.
So, for example, the chili mole that I've been feeding Tom here, and he actually had some in the break.
All the different angles on that is so wonderful.
We get the smokiness there because the beans were cooked with a chili ancho, which is dried, smoked poblano chili.
Chili, right.
And you get the richness because besides the oil that we sauté the onions and garlic and chilies and stuff in, besides that, there's peanut butter. That's adding a richness to it, that fatty richness. There is, but, you know, you use the word better. There are other, but, you know, better is such an individual thing. And if only a ham hock is going to give it to you, then that's the way to go. But it is really worth expanding your spectrum of culinary possibilities.
You may find more satisfactions on more fronts than you expect.
Yeah, you really will.
What else have we got on this
table?
Okay,
we're moving to dessert here.
Okay, I'm ready.
We had
our
appetizers, main course, salad.
I'm going to circle back to all this, I promise you. But
okay,
all right, what have we got? Dessert from the bean world?
This is Julie's chocolate peanut butter brownies.
Okay, now, this is beans because of peanut butter.
Peanut. Peanuts mm-hmm. are legumes. Mm-hmm. People don't think of them as legumes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is like righteously...
That is righteously dessert.
That is dessert with a capital D.
Wow.
And those keep a nice long time. They're great to send to people away at school or...
Oh, fantastic. Oh, my gosh. That is I'm definitely in Sweetland here. Terry writes to us. She says, please enlarge to include foods derived from beans. South Indian foods, idli, dosa, dal, that whole realm. Are you into that in this?
I am. I don't have a dosa or an idli recipe in there because, frankly, you know, I mean, I did at one point, but I just don't think most people are going to do idlis at home because you need an idli maker or you need to use an egg poacher and do them three at a time. Idlis are basically you soak rice overnight, you soak beans overnight. Then you grind both of them together and soak them again overnight. So they ferment. There's a little sourdough
the yogurt tang of bean dishes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a tang. And again, that helps the digestive qualities and the health qualities that your doctor mentioned or Dr. WW, wasn't it? So makes them way more digestible because the fermentation is pre-digesting it in a sense, the bacteria, the positive bacteria. So then idlis are little steamed dumplings that are sort of flying saucer shaped. Dosha are marvelous, marvelous, very thin, crispy crepes made out of basically that same batter on a big flat I'm forgetting the Indian name for it, but it's a
just
big flat.
Roll them out. And
you don't roll them out. You pour the batter out.
I see. Like the huge. Cook it up all at once.
I can't believe it. It's like a tambour. Getting the instrument mixed up with
it. It's their crepe
anyway,
maker.
but you spread it out, and unlike an American pancake, which you never want to touch the batter once it's there, and you just want to wait till you see the bubbles, they take the spatula and almost shave, keep spreading the batter and spread it so it's like paper
thin
and you can almost see that cast iron through it.
Yeah.
And then, but anybody that is near a South Indian, a restaurant that has South Indian, try masala dosa. You will be thrilled at how good it is.
Not quite that far south. In your years in Arkansas, you had Bill Clinton as a customer at your place there.
Yes.
What kind of bean eater was that man?
I think of him
as eating everything and a whole lot of burgers in there. Back in the day, not now.
He's become a vegan now. But even back then, he was allergic to dairy and eggs. So I remember once when there at our inn, they had an environmental breakfast, meaning, you know, there were people from every sides of the environmental spectrum. There was somebody from Greenpeace there. There was somebody from Tyson Foods there. And we did fish for him for breakfast because he was allergic to
eggs.
What
kind of fish? Something out of the river down there?
Rainbow trout.
Okay.
Rainbow trout.
Wow.
Breaded in cornmeal.
Yeah.
And browned and... and then, you know, at the brunch that we did on the inaugural, we had – let me give you some of – that's an example. He's picking up here. Here, take a slice of this one.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh gosh,
that's the same thing. I just
– brunch for 1200, did you have a bean in there?
Well, we had a lot of different kinds of soups and breads and salads to taste.
What is this? This is bread.
Well, it's actually – it's a cake called Rose of Persia cake. Mm. And it, again, uses that chickpea flour that I mentioned.
Okay.
And
do not forget chickpea flour. Taste the rose water in there.
And, you know, I mean, right now, I know your show is mainly political and there's so much going on with Iran. If everyone could sit down at the same table.
Yeah.
And, you know, we ate at a Persian restaurant here in Boston last night. But that cake has chickpea flour. It has dried cherries in it. It has rose water.
Tastes like peace.
It's...
peace around a little rose of Persia.
And,
oh, my gosh.
And
out of the world of beans.
You know, that is where we all join in a table as big as the world.
You know, I'm sure now that he's a vegan, Bill Clinton must have plenty of beans in his
absolutely.
Diet. And I'm thinking our time is so short here, and I haven't even got to everything, but most of it, and it's perfectly delicious. It really does seem like the food for this time. I mean, for the environment, for our wallets, for our bodies, and 60,000 ways in this cookbook to make it delicious. Crescent Dragon Wagon, I could sit here and eat with you and talk with you all day long. This is absolutely beautiful. Bean by Bean, a cookbook. James Beard, award-winning author, Crescent Dragon Wagon with us here. Recipes at our website, pictures there too. Enjoy when you get to it. Crescent, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Tom. And I hope you and your listeners have a
happy beanie time.
Bean on. We will. We're going to do it right here. Thank you so much. Crescent Dragon Wagon, Bean by Bean. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Eat it with a spoon or eat it with a fork.
Eat it right there. Get it to go.
You can eat them fast. You can eat them slow.
Black beans and rice. Yeah. Black beans and rice. Yeah. Black beans and rice. 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 Black beans and rice.
Sally Mae's.
You can drive through the dust and the weeds in the woods,
but it's worth going out of your way for
black beans and rice. Yeah.